Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Let's go hour number three on a Thursday. The tournament is underway. Hope your bracket's doing well. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling hanging out with us here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. Our man Brian Fitzgerald's producing back in the studio, and we do appreciate that. Kansas is now trying to show off against Northeastern. They're up 30 with about 8 minutes to go in that one. It's 66-36. There will be no 13-4 upset in that particular part of your bracket. We'll get you some more scores as we roll along. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Talk to one of our favorite football guys. And it is J.D. Lewis talking fantasy football and some basketball, too. J.D., how are you?
I'm fantastic, guys. I miss y'all. I miss getting to do this, which, you know, whenever we normally get to do this, it means it's football season, which is, you know, my favorite time of the year, to be honest. I love March Madness, obviously, super big basketball guy, but I've just morphed into such a fantasy nerd. I just love it. I can't explain it.
What's your best March Madness moment as a player?
Oh, it was against West Virginia for sure, my sophomore year. Sitting on the end of the bench when KP, Kenton Paulino, hit the three to beat them. And he was my roommate all year on the road. And so, you know, you kind of build a little bit extra of a little extra special bond. And so when he hit that three to beat them, I had to be the first one out there to jump on him.
Did you knew he had it when it left his hands? Did you know it was going in?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, right? I mean, that was one of those games where it felt like it just about everything was dropping on both sides. And so when he got that clean of a look at the end, it felt like it was definitely in all the way.
What about Rick in Tennessee? Because you obviously played for Rick, and they've had a heck of a year, really veteran, tough team. Is there anything about him that you like or don't like in the tournament, or is that just kind of year to year?
I just feel like Coach Barnes's best teams have always been the blue-collar teams. And I heard them say that on one of the broadcasts about a month or so back when that they did not have one single top 100 player out of high school on this team. And I don't know if that means on this team or playing significant minutes on this team, but that blew me away. But it also got me thinking that's when Coach Barnes is at his best, when the guys are buying in, when they're listening to him, they're playing defense, and all of a sudden they got a pretty good offense too, which is, you know, I think some of the best Texas defensive teams lacked. And so this Tennessee team, I think can make some noise. But unfortunately in my bracket, I have Purdue beating them, and which is hard to do, especially when you realize that Texas beat Purdue. It's kind of like, do I really think that they're going to beat Tennessee? But, you know, my gut told me they would.
J.D., settle a gentleman's bet between Kevin and myself. How many brackets do you have this year?
Two.
Oh.
Does that told surprise you?
Well, I had
five. Had you down for like 10.
I had 5 to 10. I thought it was 5 to 10, but then Kevin said, no, he's married now. There's children involved, and he's got a family. Like, he's doing normal stuff, and he's successful at work. He doesn't have time for all of that. So I guess Kevin was right.
There's some truth to that. But at the same time, it's hard to do a ton of brackets because, you know, when you start looking at games and trying to pick differently, it gets so complicated because you're now thinking about four or five different brackets and who did I pick to win the national championship and this one and that one. And you almost feel like you get every pick right because across that many brackets, at some point, you do get every pick right. And it messes with you.
Okay, so
that's funny.
So we've talked about I know that you've tweeted about it. We've talked about BK came out with his all-time Texas team where you've got a salary cap of $20, and it's the all-time best. When you looked at it, did you put together a $20 team that you think's the best?
Yeah, I did. And I'm a little biased because these are a lot of the guys that I played with and honestly potentially could have played together. But I knew my top four right away. And I spent $20 with my top four. And I just kind of really built it to where, you know, I thought about there's going to be enough shots to go around. Nobody's going to demand a whole lot more than anybody else. And so I kind of wanted to go more value at point guard and go with DJ Augustine because a lot of you guys don't might not necessarily remember, in college, he didn't need to get up a bunch of shots. He could and was super crafty and was a good shooter, but he was also a great facilitator, and I think that's what we need, which obviously TJ is as well. But I need a lot of shots to go around for KD. You got to have KD in there. LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, you got to get yourself a 6'11", 7-foot guy, and then that gives you a lot of ability to kind of play around with who you want as your four and your five. Well, I also, at the college level, I had to have P.J. Tucker on my team. And so he's a guy that's going to play defense, going to rebound, not going to take a bunch of shots from everybody else, but will be efficient. And so really, my fifth guy could be anybody that's $0. I don't really, it could be me, but I would tell you I would pick Connor Atchley because of the ability that he would have to stretch the floor as the four. I could play KD and PJ at basically shooting guard, small forward, have LaMarcus down low. And Connor, man, nobody wanted to get screened by Connor and his bony shoulders. He would be perfect out there stretching the floor and getting all of those guys open. So for $0, I don't remember seeing him on the list. So for $0, my number five would be Connor.
So
wait, you're taking four guys from what Brad set up, and then you're playing the $0 game? Is that part of this discussion?
Yeah, if he wants to.
Yeah.
I thought about doing it with Mike Wacker.
Wow.
If I got to do it, I could change this up. But, yeah, I felt like if they weren't on that list, that was a $0 value, and you could put them in there.
See, you just blew my mind. I never thought about doing it that way. Well, nice job, JD.
So, JD, who else on the list, I mean, made the cut for you that you thought about? Because I'm going to put together four or five and try and combo it a little bit.
The guy that I really, really wanted to find a way to get on my team was Royal Ivy. Just because, you know, two-way player, could score a little bit. But at the end of the day, I was like, okay, well, PJ's got a little bit of size on Roy. Now, if I had to only spend $20, I would have gone back and I would have found, instead of doing PJ, I would have done Roy, and then I would have found a fifth for, you know, a buck or two, which I could have done. But I thought my Connor Atchley answer was way cooler.
It was.
Was there one guy who was not on the list? I mean, take out Connor, that you thought this guy should have been on the list. And remember, this is all about what they did at Texas, which is why Miles Turner is not on it, and maybe Turner is, but some of those guys are at $1 or $2, even though they're better pros.
You know, the only guy that jumps out of my mind, and I do not know if he was on that list or not, is Avery Bradley. He was pretty studly when he was here.
No, he's not, and you're right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a guy that I kind of looked at to see if I could get him, and I could throw him in for $0 too, since he's not on that list. That'd be good as well. I'm telling you, my team has got so much versatility, you could throw anybody in at the fifth spot except for Chad. It'd be okay.
Hey, how dare you? How dare you? I would hustle, and I would root those guys on to victory. You don't know.
That's true. We got a spot for you over on the bench by the water.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I'd be watching. All right, talking with J.D. Lewis at J.D. Lewis Radio on Twitter if you want to send him a fantasy question. J.D., let's jump into your sickness here, because I think of you every time I see a new free agent move in the NFL. Let's start with the two former Steelers, the Antonio Brown move and the Le'Veon Bell move. How do you think that's going to affect fantasy football players?
So I think that from a fantasy football perspective, it lowers both of their values. We know what kind of player they are, but now Big Ben and all of those back shoulder throws and everything that they just inherently knew how to do and how to connect on, well, now you got Derek Carr doing that. And I just, anytime you have a player going to a new team and a new system, that adds risk to drafting them. We don't know. We knew that the Steelers' offense was going to be good year in and year out. So that meant tons of opportunities for both of those guys. We don't know what the Raiders' offense is going to look like next year. It could be good. It could really stink. We just have no idea. And when you look at Le'Veon Bell, the other guy across the board, and him going to the Jets, again, he's going to get plenty of receptions. I think they're going to utilize him in a way that they'll use him in both the running and the passing game. And so he may get the same amount of touches. However, scoring opportunities, that's another thing. You've got essentially a sophomore quarterback that regressed, I thought, really the second half of the year last year. in Darnold, and so what's he going to look like? What's the rest of that offense in the around Le'Veon Bell going to look like? He's still the same player. He's still super talented. I just don't think that the Jets offense at any point this year will be anywhere close to what the Steelers offense were when Le'Veon Bell was doing everything. So that's just fewer touchdowns that he's going to get. So for Le'Veon Bell, I kind of was thinking about this quite a bit, really. You know, does it knock him down to the end of the first? Well, I think if he'd gone to the Colts, I don't know that you would have seen much change in his value. But going to the Jets, I think that makes him a probably a second-round pick, probably somewhere in the early to mid-second round where you'll see Le'Veon Bell end up going. And I think it'll be considered a reach if he goes in the first round. And then Antonio Brown is probably similar. He's later than Le'Veon. He'll probably be mid to late second round, but that's from going from literally both those guys were top four picks the past few years.
Wow. Yeah. So Odell Beckham goes to Cleveland. How does that affect him? How does that affect Baker Mayfield? And also Landry.
It affects Baker Mayfield in a significant way. It also affects Nick Chubb in a significant way because he's going to be that guy that for at least the first 8 weeks, and realistically probably through week 10 because they have I think they're expected to have a late bye if they don't, if that's not already out. I've read that somewhere. But, you know, if he's got a – they ended up with a week 9 or week 10 bye, Kareem Hunt, who they signed in the offseason to a one-year deal, will be coming back from his suspension. So you're going to get 10 good weeks out of Nick Chubb, which I think will be great, but hurts you if all of a sudden he's splitting time with Kareem Hunt come playoff time. So that's a guy you'll see his value drop a little bit. I'm so excited about seeing Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry playing together. What I think it really does, Beckham's value remains very similar. Jarvis Landry's value remains very similar. Baker Mayfield takes a gigantic leap to where now I'm looking at him and saying top four quarterback next year. I'm saying Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, and then after that, there's an argument for Baker Mayfield, especially with all of the weapons around him. So that's who it's been, I think, who it's going to be the absolute biggest for. And we saw at OU, he guy can put up numbers. They're going to. So Baker Mayfield, top four quarterback next year, I would say, with the addition of Odell Beckham.
If you're just jumping in, J.D. Lewis, it's on March 21st. Just talked about a team he's hearing that has a late season bye. That's a fantasy football freak right there. That's fantastic stuff, J.D. All right, give me another name. I won't mention a specific name. You tell me another free agent move that you really either like or don't like based on fantasy football.
Well, I'll tell you one that surprised me the most, and then I'll tell you one that I really like. Honestly, I didn't think that Earl Thomas was going to get that kind of contract that the Ravens ended up giving him. Just coming off of I can't remember actually if it was torn ACL or ruptured Achilles or if he tore his Achilles tendon, what it was. But either way, it was a significant injury. And I kind of in the back of my mind, as I'm sure a lot of people here did, hoped that he would end up being a Cowboy, but knew that the Cowboys were strapped and weren't going to have a really great way to pay him if somebody else would. But there were so many good safeties on the market that I didn't think that they would all get paid. Well, it kind of looks like a lot of them are getting paid, and Earl Thomas got the most. So that surprised me. They've always valued free safeties there in Baltimore, you know, between Ed Reed, Rod Woodson, and some of those guys. So I think that's going to be good for them, but at the same time, I thought that they spent more than I expected the team to. The one that I like the most from a fantasy perspective really is just the signing of Nick Foles and, you know, just how efficient he's been. He's exactly what they need in Jacksonville, assuming they can get that defense back to form. They just need someone that can manage the game, throw the ball downfield, and hand the ball to Leonard Fournette and then keep Leonard Fournette healthy. I think that they could get that this year, but at the same time, we still only have smaller sample sizes, I feel like, of Foles over the past couple of years. And in those sample sizes, he's been phenomenal. I mean, he's a Super Bowl MVP, all of that stuff. But what are we going to see when we get a full 16 games from him? I'll be really watching that situation closely this year. But right now, I think that's good for him, and I think it's something they had to do.
Would you stay away from Todd Gurley? I mean, they finally came out and said, yeah, the knee wasn't exactly responding and wasn't 100%. Is that someone that you would label as injury-prone heading into the year?
All depends on what pick I have, man. If you're telling me right now, I'd say he's probably the third guy off of the board. But, yeah, I'm nervous, and that's something I'll be tracking very closely all the way up to drafts is how is that going to affect him? I mean, the arthritis in his knee or whatever it is that he's got going on, that's scary. And it's scary because of how unbelievable he was all the way throughout the year until about week 13 or so. And then it was this huge fall off. Those kinds of things scare the Dickens out of me. And so you're looking at Saquon Barkley. I think you're looking at Zeke Elliott. You're for sure 1 and 2. So if I'm sitting there with a third pick, I'm going to be agonizing over what to do with that if it's Todd Gurley or someone else. And that's something that we're not – I don't know how much information we'll get leading up to that, but there will be some that will come out, at least more. But right now, yeah, I wouldn't take him number 3 overall until I had a little bit more clarity or felt better about the situation.
JD, what do you think about Randall Cobb to the Cowboys?
I think it's a great fit. You know, I think that you lost Cole Beasley and you had to kind of replace that slot guy. You still got Amari on the outside. I thought they got a good value with him. They didn't overcommit from a term perspective to a, you know, a 31-year-old receiver, I think, right? Is that right? 31, 30-ish, something like that?
Yeah.
The one-year deal, I think, is great.
All right, let's assume that Kyler Murray does go to Arizona, number one. How do you treat someone like that who could probably put up a lot of numbers, but you maybe wonder about who's around them?
Yeah, that's a very, very valid question. A guy like Kyler Murray, you don't bet is going to come in and be your starting quarterback this year, and so he's going to be an eighth-round pick or later, unless you're talking about a keeper league where someone's drafting more for kind of the shot in the dark this year, but more drafting for the future, drafting for next year. This year, I don't know. My personal feelings on Kyler Murray is I think he's electrifying, and he is very, very fast, but he's been running away from college guys. And when 260-pound NFL linebackers are able to chase him down, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but I kind of have a feeling that he's been so amazing at avoiding the big shot. I don't know what it's going to be like when he takes that big shot. And so I kind of don't believe he's going to be able to stay healthy. But, I mean, that's complete speculation on my part. I've never seen him take those big hits, and maybe he's just going to be extremely masterful at avoiding that in the NFL too. And if he can do that, then he could have a great career. But I think he's gonna get pummeled a few times and have a rough first year, especially with the lack of talent around him.
I'm leaning with you.
JD, you know that's a myth. It's not bigger, stronger, faster in the NFL. That's just your TV making those guys bigger. It's not really more physical. Not at all. All right, so talk to me about the New Orleans backfield. I'm kind of interested to what you think they're going to be. Talk about Drew Brees, the weapons he's got, and do you think the movement of Ingram and then put in Latavius Murray, does that help Kamara? Does it hurt him? Talk about them from a fantasy perspective.
There's no question in my mind that it's a downgrade from Mark Ingram to Latavius Murray. I think what that means, though, is Latavius becomes more your short yardage back, you know, when your goal line back, which, to be honest, Alvin Kamara will still spend plenty of time in there on second and third and goal probably because they'll end up either splitting him out or motioning him out into the flats or something. So when I say goal line back, I mean when you're going to run, you know, power football and go forward and try to score from the goal line, you'll see a little bit of Latavius Murray there, but you won't see as much as you saw Mark Ingram. And so I think what that means is more opportunity for Alvin Kamara and a bump in his value to me to start the year. And realistically, if we're saying who do I want number 3 overall with the worry about Gurley right now, it's going to be Alvin Kamara. I think that offense is going to continue to be able to score points. They are still a run-centric offense that everything kind of works off of that. They signed Jared Cook, so they've got a solid tight end as well. So I think that offense is going to be similar to what we've been seeing. You're just going to see Alvin Kamara's kind of, I think, carry going from kind of 40, 50% of the touches to more like 60, 65% of the touches. It won't increase significantly, but you're going to see 4 to 5 touches a game, probably more for Kamara, which makes him the fantasy stud in that backfield.
Yeah. JD, before we let you go, it's hard to believe, but Texas beat number 1 seed North Carolina and look like one of those teams that would definitely be playing right now. We know what happened. What did you see? What caused that? And what's your take on the future here?
You know, I think that Hayes had a hard time staying on the floor, and that, I think, impacted a lot of games because he was by far our best big man down low. So I think that was probably the biggest thing. And then really just not able to close out games, not able, once we get up, we kind of have a hard time holding the lead, and that's no secret to anybody. It's impressive. Texas had some really good wins when you look back at it, and the fact that they did beat Purdue and they beat a number of really solid teams, but you can't be 500 or under 500 and think that you should make the tournament no matter how many quality wins you have, because you've got to go win games that you're supposed to win still. And even down the stretch, it looked like we had a great shot at making the NCAA tournament just because we didn't have that difficult of a schedule. And then, TCU happens and some of those other games, and it's just it was hard this year as a Texas fan following it. But, the kids played as hard as they did. They fought. They tried to do it. But, ended up playing with a lot of young guys, and it takes time to learn that and get that experience. And really a lot of being able to close out games goes down to experience and how much you've really played with each other and how comfortable you are at the end of the game. And then the coach being able to, execute as well. So I think all that kind of comes with time. And unfortunately, we just had a lot of young guys this year, and there's still a lot of raw talent on the team. And I think we got a lot of good players in place. And, I don't know exactly where the team goes from here and the university goes from here, but right now they've got Shaka under contract, and they still owe him quite a bit of money. And I think that they might be okay giving him another year to kind of figure this out. Plus, the biggest thing for me over these past couple of years, like, poor kid, Andrew Jones, man, and what happened to him. And I mean, that was a leader of your team that you expected to have out there. And then, some of the crappy parts of life happen. But that was a difficult situation, I think, that this team's had to deal with the last couple of years as well.
That is J.D. Lewis. If you have a fantasy football question, it's never too early. At J.D. Lewis Radio. You can tell he's already thinking about it. J.D., enjoy the tournament, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, sir.
Good stuff. J.D. Lewis, basketball, football, whatever you need, and a whole different perspective on the all-time Longhorn basketball team. I never would have thought of that. Pack four guys together with your $20 and then find a player that's not there as a $0 player. That's brilliant.
Very shrewd managing that cap.
I don't know if it's allowed. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's under the rule. We need to ask, double check with Brad and others on, is that allowed? But I like the idea.
Well, kind of like Nick Saban. There's no rule for it, so we can do it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Make them invent a rule. We'll have 80 coaches, we can.
They don't have a limit for this, so I can have 30 of these guys? Yeah, you can have 30 of those
good
guys. I got to try the bacon during the break. The billionaire bacon, one of the things that they have here for you at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. All right, coming up a little bit later on at 5:45, the Crab Bag. If you haven't checked out the Hat Game today, the tournament couldn't even stop the Hat Game. Hat Game Part 9 is out there. You can check that out on Twitter and Facebook. Give you those answers coming up at 5:45. Up next in the Big 3, a whole lot of people thought that Northeastern was going to knock off Kansas. We'll tell you just how wrong all those people were coming up on the Horn.
Since you're already wasting time online, do it at hornfm.com.
Rolling through a Thursday, we're here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock for the tournament. First Thursday of the tournament, we're just about to hit a lull between tip times. We'll get you the scores coming up. Brian Fitzgerald producing back in the studio. Brian, is this a little Stray Cats for the people today?
It is.
One of the Stray Cats has a birthday. Slim Jim Phantom, the drummer for the Stray Cats, is 58 years old. Also for you 80s fans, Eddie Money is 70. And coming up in the Crab Bag, I got a baseball player with a birthday for Kevin, and I want to know if he knows the number. I'm guessing he does because the guy played for the Cubs back in the day. So we'll get that coming up as well. Also, the Hat Game answers coming up at 5:45. But right now, let's tell you about the Kansas answers in the Big 3.
The Big 3.
The Big 3 is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
The first big blowout of the tournament belongs to Kansas. They beat Northeastern 87-53. Northeastern only shoots 28% from the floor, 21% from beyond the arc. Kansas out-rebounds them by 18 and shoots 56% from the floor. So Bill Self's group advances. Kansas will play Auburn in the next round. Auburn barely survived New Mexico State. So if you had that 12-5, that one did not happen, although there is a 12-5 that's absolutely cooking right now. Murray State is starting to put it to Marquette. They're up 20 with 8 minutes to go in this game. Now it's 22 with 8 minutes to go in this game. Ja Morant and the crew looks like they are advancing with a 12 over a 5. If they do it, they'll take on Florida State, who won earlier. Other winners today, Michigan State, Minnesota, LSU, and Maryland. The next game will tip at about 5:40 to get the next wave of games started, and that will be Florida and Nevada, and then we roll all the way through the evening. If you're a Baylor fan, you will finish out the night. You're the very last game to tip off. Elsewhere, we told you about the NFL story. Justin Houston is now an Indianapolis Colt after the Chiefs let him go. Obviously, we've talked some Texas baseball today. They beat Arkansas 7-6 in a wild, long, way too many pitchers used kind of game. But Hibbler and Zubia did have two hits each, and the Longhorns got the win. So they're 16-8. They are at TCU this weekend. Also, Longhorn basketball knows they'll face Xavier Sunday at 3 in the NIT in the second round. All right, there's some big three for you. And joining us here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock, Trey Elling has hung out. He's doing some work. He's watching some basketball. Trey, how's your day been so far?
Day in terms of the bracket has been pretty good so far. It's always great to get to meet and then see some people like Kirk out here. Of course, you have the added incentive to come visit us sometime in the next hour and 30 minutes, guys, not only to say hello, but to check out the basketball and all the screens, eat some good food, drink some delicious drinks, but also we have the horn bass passes as well. We found out about that when we got here this morning, so we knew that people would come by for those if nothing else, and it's a good reason to do so. It's free, but you do have to have the pass. As far as the bracket goes, I have one loss so far. It is the Belmont game, and Belmont absolutely choked that one down the stretch. Yeah. But I do have Murray State also, and that one's looking pretty good right now. So feeling good about the bracket. I do have to say this, though, guys. It was so fitting to pay attention to the end of that Auburn game with just how incompetent both teams turned out to be and just really trying to lose the game right before you guys went on the air with how hard you've been on college basketball, and rightfully so with what that sport has become in 2019.
Yeah, it really was a you take it, no, you take it. No, 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 you can win. No, no, I mean, it was so sloppy at the end.
And that's a lot of what happened with the Belmont game as well. Now, Maryland did make more plays, but Belmont, who was the mid-major, mind you, the team that played a couple of days ago, they were missing free throws down the stretch. They had poor execution on what could have been a game-winning shot attempt. Mm. And then after that, they used a timeout in the middle, after the first free throw of a two-shot foul. When they didn't have any more timeouts after that, the guy missed the second free throw. They're down by two. They have to push the ball up the court, and they take a half-court shot, and unfortunately it misses. So I think incompetence at ends of games is a common theme in this year's March Madness.
Yeah, we'll see if that improves as things go on. Again, we're here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock, and like Trey said, come by for those horn bash passes. We've got those out here, and they're here for the taking here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock.
I'm going to jump in here. Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt, did you see that?
Yeah, the Cardinals about to give him a fat extension.
5-year extension worth approximately $130 million. That's Jeff Passan reporting that. And I was curious. I didn't know what they were going to do. He's at that point where I figured he would probably want that extension. He was obviously traded from Arizona. He's going to be doing some rebuilding. So, this is a guy, Texas State guy, too. Local product, too.
That's right.
Has been as good as any first baseman, if not the best first baseman, for the last couple years.
So more good news from baseball in terms of this money that's now flowing. We said we thought that when the big guys got their deals, they would start to happen. Now I feel like now we're seeing one or two names a day at least.
Yeah, I think we are. I'm not sure how much of it goes to that, but I'm sure some of it does.
Yeah, good for him. And for you, one of the best first basemen in baseball, is he top five for you at that position in the game?
No, he's one of the, I said he may be the best.
Maybe the best.
Yeah, so he's either one or two. I mean, Freddie Freeman could be up there, but if you're looking at those guys right now, I mean, Trey, you watch a ton of baseball. Paul Goldschmidt has been dynamite.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see him over the next 5 years in St. Louis because he's at that age right now where it seems like he has at least two or three more really good years in him. He's right at 30, so it feels like for St. Louis they're going to get great value on that deal. Goldschmidt does as well. You know what the Cardinals, I hate to say this to you, Cubs fan, what the Cardinals stand for just in terms of consistent success baseball over really all of our lifespan. So they found a guy that they thought they could really serve as a cornerstone for this team as they try and get back into contention, make it back into the postseason, win another World Series.
He's good defensively. I bet you he's going to run a little bit more this year. He's won four silver sluggers and then three gold gloves. He's finished three times in the top three of the MVP voting. This guy's the real deal. Eight seasons, hitting almost 300 and has more than 200 home runs already.
Sixth in MVP voting last year, another All-Star game, which you had just mentioned, Kevin, and he was on par. And this is actually going to be his age 31 season. His age 30 season, he was on par with his career numbers, and those numbers are spectacular.
And just like the story we had earlier with Tampa Bay, good to see the Cardinals committed to winning because they've never really been that kind of
right?
Never really been that franchise. Yeah, that's a five-year extension for Paul Goldschmidt. That coming down in baseball today along with the Snell story from Tampa. So, man, a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff going on in baseball, but still no Dallas Keuchel, still no Kimbrel, correct?
No Keuchel, no Kimbrel, I'm sure, at some point. Thank you very much. Didn't even ask for it. You saw that the Sprite was low. Look at you.
She paid close attention, too, by the way. She almost poured water into that because it looks like water when the Sprite is low. She saw that there was a little bit of carbonation. Does a great job.
Big fan. Big fan.
I believe that's Sarah.
Sarah.
With an H or an A?
I didn't ask.
We'll have to find that one out.
I haven't seen a name pin either.
Okay. All right.
I've looked.
Now, as far as Kimbrel goes, and I apologize if you've mentioned this on the show already, Kevin, I'm seeing him to Milwaukee right now. That would be a fascinating fit.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen Washington, too. He's going to land somewhere, but, yeah, that would be a weird fit. I mean, we've talked about it. Heck, we have a draft coming up. Like, I don't know who a closer is anymore.
Yeah, I mean, considering what they've done with Hader, and they just keep acquiring guys who have shown
Jeffress.
The ability to close games. Jeffress as well. Of course, Corey Knebel, guy that Longhorn fans are very familiar with. So I guess you can't have too many arms in the back end, but at some point with closers, considering how weird they are, you wonder if it messes with the dynamic at all and if ego starts to get in the way of guys who are relegated to what are very important innings at the ends of games, sixth, seventh innings, where it's not necessarily getting that save, but it's clearly still important for them winning that ball game.
Yeah, whenever Josh Hader re-signs, we'll get a much better feel if the market has calibrated towards, saves don't matter that much anymore. They do, but it may not be your best reliever.
And much like with Dave Roberts, I'm not crazy about giving Craig Counsell too many options to work with, whether it's his bench or the starting pitching of the bullpen as well. You don't want to give that particular guy too many decisions because he is the type of dude who has proven time and time again to outthink himself when it comes to making those calls.
He's a tinkerer?
A little bit of a tinkerer.
He's too smart.
Yeah. Too smart for his own good?
Notre Dame guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there it is.
I just thought of it. What would Dave Roberts have done with last night's game if he's either Texas or Arkansas's coach?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
It would have been longer.
15 pitchers on one side.
It would have been longer somehow.
Oh, my goodness. All right, coming up, we'll check voicemails if they're there. If you want to slip one in, 337-3776. Then in the crab bag, we'll get you the hat game answer. And we'll have Kevin talk about a Cub from long, long ago.
Jody Davis.
And see if he that number. I'm sure he does. We're here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. Don't move. It's the Horn. Twin Peaks in Round Rock is where we're watching the games today. 250 Miller Lite. And you can come get your Horn Bash passes. That's been a big hit today, the Horn Bash passes. Remember, May 4th, Buck's Backyard in Buda. You got to have the pass. It's free. You just got to come by and get the pass to get you in. All right, we've got one game that is headed towards the end, and it's not much excitement in it. Murray State is going to finish off Marquette, just trying to figure out the score. It's 75 to 58 with about 3.5 minutes to go in that ball game. So no big drama there. We'll get you some more scores as we roll along. But right now, let's jump into the crap bag.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
This segment brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, your one-stop shop for sporting goods, hunting, fishing, and camping equipment.
Totally my fault. Brian told me that was coming, and I just kept talking because I run my mouth too much. Let's check voicemails first off, 337-3776. Brian, any voicemails from the good people?
Wah, wah.
Wow, that's a shame. I talk about it so much. All right, sorry about that. 337-3776. All right, in terms of the crap bag itself, there is another hat game out there today. It was on Facebook and Twitter earlier. Kevin, you got these? You got these hat games this week?
Yeah, I just looked at it. So I got Eric Berry be one, right?
Eric Berry is the one in the middle. And by the way, credit to Ricky Brennis, our buddy Ricky Brennis, who runs Bevo basically, the leader, the Bevo leader, takes care of Bevo. He got them all right. One of these guys, the guy on top, had a birthday yesterday, and I didn't get around to him, but I had and I'd totally forgotten that. So this is Pitt. The Saints, and then the Niners. I'd totally forgotten this guy was a Niner with the Super Bowl 29 team with Steve Young.
Huh.
I know him as a Saint. I never realized he played with you guys and won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm blanking on that, trying to think who would have been. I know that team really well. Was he a starter? Is he one of the 22?
Now, see, that I don't know because this is going to be later in his career.
Do you know who it is?
It's one of the linebackers, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Is it, it's not Mills. It's
You got it. It's that group. It's one of those guys.
Gosh darn it, I can picture him, too. I remember.
Jack.
For some reason, I remember him
not
playing
Ricky Jackson.
For the
49ers. Ricky Jackson?
Yep. There it is.
Forgot he went to Pitt.
Part of the Dome Patrol. I forgot that, too. Apparently, Ricky Jackson and Hugh Green were at Pitt at the same time.
Huh.
And then he ended up with the Niners and won Super Bowl 29. And then on the bottom, we got Ohio State, the Seahawks, the Redskins, and the Patriots.
I don't remember the Patriots, but is that Sean Springs?
It is Sean Springs.
Ooh,
very good. Very good. Yes.
Love Sean Springs.
Ricky
Number on Sean Springs, y'all?
At Ohio State. 26?
24.
Close. 24. You guys are right on it.
Gummit. There you go. So if you want to check out Hat Game, I do that every Thursday because I've got too many helmets laying
around. I like
it,
though. I like when you go the small one, too, like that. You went two small ones on that.
Yeah, well, it expands it a little bit because I don't have every one of the big ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, it reminds everybody that I'm not totally a wacko, right?
that's kind of what I was thinking out of it. Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make me more of a wacko that I have the little ones or less of a wacko?
Less of
I can't
wacko.
Figure out which one that is.
Less it makes you look like a disorganized wacko.
Yeah, exactly right. It makes me look like I'm not a fully committed wacko.
You're a sloppy wacko.
That's right.
The wacko factor depends on whether or not you have any small animals to put them on, like gerbils, hamsters, guinea pigs.
I don't have that. Right. That's true. I don't have that. That's a great point. Also, if you want to check out a Crap Bag podcast this week, it's on our SoundCloud page, and I retweeted it earlier. Some more thoughts on Johnny and the AAF and the new UFC pay-per-view system that has got me freaked out. But, Kevin, in terms of a birthday for you today, it is Sean Dunstan's birthday. He's 56 years old. He spells his first name weird. It is S-H-A-W-O-N.
Shawan.
I'm sure you can tell me his number, at least one of the numbers he wore in Major League Baseball.
No, I mean, I'm going to give you the number he wore.
The number.
Number 12.
12 is the number.
Shawan
Dunstan. Shawan.
Question always was, should it be a pitcher? Because he would have been the number one overall pick in the 84 draft. Is that correct?
I do not have that in front of me, but I'm going to take your word. Was he that good a pitcher?
83. No, he had that good of an arm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the Shawan-o-meter was created for a reason. Shawan liked to hit 230 a lot.
Oh, I see.
Except in contract years.
And then it was different?
And Shawan would bust out his 275, 280.
Okay.
He was clutch that way, but it frustrated us.
Dunstan did wear 12. He also wore 21, 3, 9, 8, and 20, 23 during his career. One other quick thing, since Trey's sitting here, I thought of a strange question. I want to get both of your thoughts.
Oh, boy.
So I'm driving the other day through Manor. And there's a tattoo place in Manor, which is funny all by itself.
Yes,
right?
You should.
Don't. No, you shouldn't.
No. There's two guys standing
out. Not with a shaved head.
Two guys standing out. There's two guys standing outside the tattoo parlor, and they are talking, and they both have multiple tattoos. And my assumption would be one or both of them might work there. So here's my question. Neither of you are tattoo guys, correct? No tattoos at all.
I'm not anti, but I don't have one. No.
Right.
If you were going to get your first tattoo, would whether or not the tattoo artist had tattoos on his or her body matter to you?
Not necessarily. It would be more about the artwork that he showed me in terms of just general artwork, but more specifically the art that he was creating on somebody's skin.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't really matter because he or she didn't do it.
Right. You assume they didn't do it
to
themselves.
They didn't do it themselves. Right. So if they've got someone who comes in, if someone who works there and they're like, hey, Dave did this for me, yeah, I want to take a look at it.
But that's an assumption. As I looked over at those guys, I thought, man, I bet they know a lot about tattoos. I bet they're really good at tattoos. And I thought, wait a minute. Why would you assume that? Just because they have a lot of tattoos, that doesn't make them good at it.
You gave the same misnomer, which I hear a lot, that, you know, never trust a skinny chef. Actually, most 4- and 5-star kitchens are guys that look like they're on heroin.
Yeah.
And some are.
Exactly right.
They look like Bourdain is what they're built like.
Yeah, does somebody walk in and say, oh, I got to have a really large chef because then I know he or she is eating
no,
a lot.
You know they can eat. You don't know they can cook.
Exactly.
All that shows you is this guy received the tattoo.
I will say in the workout world, though, if the trainer is overweight, I have zero confidence that that person is
a little different. Yeah,
going to do the job.
That's a little different, right? I never thought about it. I'm not a tattoo guy either, but I thought if I was going to get a tattoo, would it matter to me how tatted up the person is that's about to do it? Because all that tells me is they like tats, but it doesn't tell me they're great at it.
Right.
I feel like when you go into a tattoo parlor, I've been into a couple to watch friends get tattoos, it is much less about you asking them to see their tattoos to check for just how good they could be at the craft versus checking some of the previous work, pictures that they've taken of other work that they've done for individuals.
So theoretically, you wouldn't care if the person was totally clean, like one of the three of us, but just that you say, hey, man, he's a badass tat guy.
I'd wonder about it a little bit. I would expect someone to work at a tattoo shop just to be littered with it.
There would always be the potential that the person was either a psychopath or had some other serious issue going on if they worked in a tattoo parlor, were that good at it without a single tattoo.
Not one tat, and you say, why don't you have a tat? Oh, I just hate needles.
Yeah.
Anyway, you ready? You ready to go?
Yeah, those things, I'm with you, because there are some things that I do want to see if you're good at. Like if I go up here and get a drink after, I don't need the bartender to be drinking.
Now, that's true.
Right?
You know? True. Yeah, but it's just one of those unique situations where sometimes someone is literally wearing their job.
I see exactly what you're saying.
It's there's not many things like that.
And it's also it is probably less so now, but definitely growing up, it really represented a lifestyle too.
Yeah, that's true.
And back to the bar theory, how about having somebody like Sam Malone serve you your drink? Somebody who is in recovery who is at the bar serving you your drink. You're okay with that one?
Sam Malone.
I think it's funny.
I'd be more you know, focused on the toop.
I think it's great that Trey bought the idea that Sam was in recovery. I never thought that. I never once thought Sam was in recovery.
Really?
I never thought he was.
Oh my gosh! You've just busted. Okay.
I always assumed Sam was turning him back.
But you did know that he was at one point, right?
The character or Ted?
Yeah, the character.
Did they? I didn't remember him being.
Yeah, the character was.
Yeah, he drank himself out of baseball.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that, but I thought he was drinking himself around that
bar,
too.
I like how the Boston guy comes in and is like, I did not know that.
We all know the script that cheers.
Wasn't that in Texas history?
Hold on. Was he sober, though? Because if not, you've just totally busted a childhood.
No, I think you might be.
No,
you might be right.
No, he was absolutely sober. Okay. At one point in the show, he got his drinking problem back when him and Diane broke up, but then he sobered up again.
Okay, well, maybe that's what I'm
good
remembering.
Call, Brian.
That he drank because of Diane. Because we all drank because of Diane. Let's be honest, right? One way or the other, you drank because of Diane.
I was a Kirstie Alley guy.
Yeah, Kirstie Alley was a good option. Smart career choice, Shelley Long. Way to quit that show to go into movies. How'd that one work out for you?
And by the way, kiddos, Google who I'm talking about. Google Kirstie Alley then, not now.
Real Kirstie Alley.
Before we get the text.
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley in her prime in the Cheers days. Trey, you out of here?
This is it for me, guys. Whoa.
No.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Why? Are the balls dropping or is mom home? Playoffs.
You got a prom date tonight there, 14-year-old?
Yes, the prom date in the form of my wife and beautiful children who are back in town now.
Oh, they're back.
You must be bummed.
You know, a little bit less human being time, but that's okay. I love them.
All right.
What a great way to say it. All right, man. Well, we will
see. Call me tonight. I'll be on the couch hanging.
We will not see you tomorrow because we're also out and about tomorrow. But will we hear from you tomorrow? Are you producing the show tomorrow? Do you even know?
That is up in the air as of right now, guys,
cool.
After learning that piece of information.
All right. Well,
now I'll be back at studio just cursing you under my breath as they bring you back.
I was about to say, like, us being in studio is going to be a big
fair enough.
Calling card, big selling point for
we'll
you.
We'll look forward to fair. You cursing us tomorrow. Have a safe
all
trip
right.
home.
Thanks, guys.
That is Trey Elling. Check out Middays with Trey and BK tomorrow morning at 10. Of course, Bucky and Aaron at 6 a.m. Rodcast 1 to 3. And we will get you the show tomorrow at 3. We roll till 7 today. We've got a final just in from the tournament and another game that is just cranked up. We'll get you an update of what's happened today and how it may have affected your bracket. We're at Twin Peaks in Round Rock, and this is the Horn.